You're not gonna say it, somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone thugs and are they in harmony? You're a helpful snowman.
Hey, everybody. We're back. We got another show. And this is our first post-Halloween extravaganza. Sextravaganza, perhaps? No. Not perhaps. Not even mayhaps. Nunhaps. Sextravaganza. As of this moment, nobody has actually located the hidden episode yet. I've had lots of requests for additional clues, which I've provided. But it's hidden, you guys. It's a hidden episode. It's supposed to be difficult to find. So, you know, I guess we'll just keep giving out clues until somebody finds it, at least, and then I'll know. Well, it was findable, as long as you did something, right? Can I tell you what's a scourge right now? Like, right this second, but also in general? Longboarding. What is going on with this? It's not the existence of the longboard. It's not the youth using the longboard. It's people seem a little confused about whether or not a skateboard, because it's long, I guess, is like reasonable to ride around on in the city, on the road. Let me provide a hint for everyone. If you have a vehicle, or you have a something that you're like, I consider this a vehicle. Here's how you can tell if someone else would consider it a vehicle. Is it possible for this thing to go, like, let's say 30 miles an hour? You know, I think a bike can go 30. I mean, it probably isn't going 30 most of the time. But could it go 30? And if it was going 30, would you be able, would that be like in a fucking emergency horrible situation? I don't think it would. I think it would be pretty fast on a bike, but I don't think it would be like, well, I'm fucked. I think also a vehicle should probably have some kind of brakes, stopping system. Other than, you know, this thing, it seems like the stopping system for a longboard is, oh, I jump off and run. And it's like, where does your board go? Right into someone's fucking legs. Right into the road. Where, you know, it's not like the thing stops. It's just like, that would be like if I drove a car. I'm pretty sure it would be illegal for me to drive a car where the way I stopped it was, you know, I turned the wheel side to side really quick to slow it down. But if I had to stop, I just had to jump, roll out of the car. And just, you know, the car hopefully comes to a stop on its own in some grass. And then I'm like, cool. And then I get back in and do it again. Longboard is not a vehicle. Should not be on the road. Okay? Okay. When we last left you, I think I had some medical mysteries, as has been sort of an ongoing theme. I've been to the doctor since then, like 4 times. Can I tell you something about Obama's America and the way that doctors work? Why... Okay, you go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor and I'm like, I'm having breathing trouble, which isn't something I've gone to the doctor for before. And every time you go to the doctor, they kind of treat you like, I don't really believe you. Or like, well, they treat it as not like an emergency, which I guess it's not. But this is one of the things that Dr. Google was like, hey, there are a couple things that if you're having these problems, you should probably go to the doctor, if not the emergency room. Shortness of breath / trouble breathing is one, and chest pain is the other. And I was like, all right, I'm not having chest pain, but I'm having this other one. So even Dr. Google was like, well, A, you probably have cancer, but B, go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor, and we talked about both my lungs and my butt, you know, because I've been having these butthole problems. And so lung-wise, he was like, well, we'll have you go take this fucking crazy test. You know, you got to drive a half hour, go to this thing, take a test. And I'm like, okay. And then, which, by the way, the frustration there being like, we're going to have you take this bizarre test before we do anything like, I don't know, a blood test, anything like that. And then, also, you know, he's like, all right, well, we'll put my finger in your butt. It's not what he said, but he's like, go ahead and bend over that table. I'm going to put my finger in. I don't think he even said it. I'm just going to go ahead and put my finger in your butt. I don't know why, like, I'm looking for the doctor who's just like, so you're having a butt problem, huh? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right. Well, you know, I'm going to have to put my finger in there. That's just how this goes. And I'd be like, that's fine. So definitely there was some finger in the butt. Now, having had a finger in my butt of my own before, I can tell you it's hard to gauge how much finger is in the butt, you know, because I think just a little goes a long way in the butt. I will say that. I still don't fully understand the butt sex. Like, I still don't understand how people tolerate that, but I guess they must have different buttholes than mine, or, you know, different, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, brain-activated reaction of butthole than I do, because I just, you know, like, a finger is plenty. If someone was like, I want to put my finger in your butt, I think I'd be like, well, you probably don't actually want to put it in my butt, because, you know, there's gross shit going on back there, but a butt, sure, why not? But then if someone was like, I want to put my penis in your butt, or a penis-sized object, even a modest penis. Penis. Is that that's the shortened version for a modest penis. A penis. A pianist. That would be too a little much, I think. I don't know. Can you get, like, I heard this story, and I don't know if this is true or not. I feel like this is something I heard on Loveline back in the day of a woman who got married to this man. And they were having sex problems because her vagina was too tight. And so a doctor gave her, like, these graduated dildos, I guess, like cylinders, you know, starting very small and getting larger, and the idea being to, like, stretch out. So I wonder if that works with a butthole. Like, if I could, you know, could I eventually go in there to the doctor and he's like, I'm gonna put my finger in, and I'm like, are you in yet? When's it happening? You know, because that would be nice. That wouldn't be so bad, but I don't think it works that way. I just don't know. Like, I guess if you're getting a finger in the butt at the doctor, also, it's probably like, you know, I guess this is the closest thing I'll ever have to a gynecological exam, and I think I get it now, which is like, I'm not nervous in general about medical procedures, but I don't love them, and I think I'm more nervous about, like, what is gonna, you know, is he gonna put his finger in there and it's just like, oh my god, your entire lower half is tumors. That's, you know, that's what I fully expect. So I think that it's not the same mood as, you know, a fun, sexy experience or possibly an intimate partner experience. It's not really of the same quality as either of those things, as far as I know. I mean, my intimacy, though disappointing for my partners, is definitely better than just having a doctor put his finger in your butt. Diagnosis, by the way, nothing special going on. Just some irritation and stuff, and so maybe, you know, so I've been using these wet wipes to wipe my ass for a while. Doesn't seem to have made a huge difference, but whatever. I don't know. I'm still uncured in the butt and uncured in the breathing. So I go for this breathing test. Now, this is insane. They put this thing over your mouth or in your mouth, and you do these different things. You know, she's like, all right, I need you to pant like a dog. And, you know, like really intensely draw in and out fast, you know. And no matter how you do it, she's like, faster, faster, faster. And, like, taking a deep breath and then breathing out as long as you can and all this shit. And probably the weirdest one is you take this inhaler, which is like, it's kind of like a science bong, I would say. They attach this thing. It's got, like, steam coming out, and you just do an inhaler. And it's not like an inhaler they seem to give to people where you're like, and then you're done. It's like you're breathing on this thing for, like, 10 fucking minutes. Which I was like, well, if that doesn't do anything, then I don't think inhaler's the answer. And it didn't do anything for me. I felt no different. So anyway, I don't know. It looks like it might be an infection, something. They did a blood test, nothing there. I went and got the blood drawn too. Oh, but so I'm taking this breathing test, and there's one point in which you're sitting in this chair, in this, you know, weird booth kind of thing. And I'll tell you something medical science is not good at, is like, when you come for these appointments, they should tell you everything that's going to happen. They should be like, all right, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to have you panting for a while like a dog. That's just for my own fun. I'm going to have you do this. I'm going to have you do that. You're sitting in this weird chair, and here's the things this weird chair does. And here are the things this weird chair does that you are going to do. You know, and so it's like, okay, this has like a cylinder chamber that closes over it that I can only describe as like some kind of hyper sleep chamber, except you're sitting up instead of laying down, going through space or whatever. And I guess it's like, then you can only breathe through the tube, like there's no air inside. I don't know how this works or what it does. I'm not sure. It didn't seem to make a lot of sense. It's like, it changes the air pressure, some shit. They close you in. You can't really hear very well outside, you know, so on and so forth. So that was weird. And, you know, they're trying to, like, okay, just breathe normally. And you're like, I mean, okay, I'm in this fucking chamber with this thing. I don't know. I don't know about that. I will say, you know, I'm at this, like, cardiology, pulmonology thing. And, man, everyone there was out aging me. Like, if you want to feel young, have an old person type of incident, like a cardiological incident, because then you go to the cardiology place and they're like, wow, you're really young. I'm like, thank you. You know, these fucking teens who think you're so old, I'm like, aha, now who's old? Still me, but relatively not me. So anyway, I don't know. I'm all fucked up, but seems like we've exhausted our options here. I don't know. I guess I could go to another doctor. I haven't really gotten billed for everything. I got billed for some stuff, and then it's showing me on the bill. Medical costs are fucking crazy. Like, I don't know how do people in medical billing offices, like, go to sleep at night? They must just be like, how the fuck? What do these numbers even mean? You know what I mean? It seems like they just are type. They must just type in these numbers that they're like, oh, sure, like, that seems like a reasonable amount for a fucking x-ray or whatever somebody needed. I don't have lung cancer, it would appear. You know, I got the x-ray. And this is the whole thing about, like, when I'm saying Obama's America or whatever. It's like, all right, you go for the appointment. Then you go for the test. They send the test results to some other guy. Right? You don't get the test from the doctor who interprets the test. You get it from some lady there. And then she sends the results to some guy who then sends the results to your doctor. And then you go see your doctor and then he explains the results to you. And you're kind of like, I feel like there's a shorter way to do this. I guess it doesn't involve me giving you like a $40 copay every time. So I could see why you'd want to avoid that. But then I'm like, is there just a doctor, I guess, who's just interpreting these? Like, he just gets sent them? I mean, he could be in fucking Michigan or some shit. He just gets sent this stuff, and he's like, yes, no, maybe, I don't know. Kind of seems like it. So anyway, I think I've been to the doctor's office like 5 times in the last whatever. I got blood drawn. That wasn't bad. But, you know, you had to go for a totally separate appointment to get your blood drawn. You have to not eat for 12 hours because he's like, we might as well check your cholesterol and stuff. And I'm like, sure, why not? Well, because you can't eat for 12 hours. That's why not. Which doesn't sound that long, but to me it's very long. I usually eat dinner at like midnight. So that makes it a little tough. I go get the blood drawn, you know, and the lady is like, I don't have a big problem with getting blood drawn. I just prefer not to, like, watch, you know. So I'm just looking away. She's like, are you doing okay? And I was like, I mean, I'm fine. Like, you're stabbing me in the arm for the express purpose of draining my blood. So I think, considering that, I think I'm doing pretty great, actually. You know, I don't feel horrible or anything. So, yeah, let's just keep on keeping on, huh? It's just a weird question, I think. Why would you... How are you doing? How do you... the fuck do you think I'm doing? I mean, even in the best of circumstances, I'm like, I mean, I'm doing something that I'm not thrilled about. How's that for an answer? I'm not super excited about what's happening right now. So they did that. They also, you know, they do the x-rays and, like, you're getting these tests done, and it's getting done not by a doctor, but by someone else. And this is why they need to, like, tell you shit, right? Because I know it's not, like, what you want to do is this lady's taking the x-rays, and I'm like, you fucking look at these all day. I'm sure, like, if I was had some crazy, you know, they're like, you only have half of one lung or something, that they would know, or they would know when something was super abnormal. And so you want to be like, so, how's it looking? But, you know, they would just be like, no, I can't, you know, I don't interpret them. And I'm like, oh, you can do it. If you're wrong, that's fine. And, but I know how this goes. They're like, oh, no, you can't do that. So then you're just waiting. But, she had me take an x-ray, and I'm standing in front of the thing, and then she was like, we're going to have to adjust this here. I didn't quite get this part or something. And of course, immediately, because something wasn't going as normal, I was like, oh God, that's it. You know, she just wants to focus on this other part, but doesn't want to tell me why, because this is it. This is the end. That's the thing, I think, when I go to the doctor. I assume any signals are bad, even if they're just innocuous, you know. Even I'm sure she has not thought twice and did not think twice at the time about being like, you know, we didn't really get a clear shot at this area, so I'm going to do it again. And I was just like, oh, fuck. And she's thinking, no, that's actually what happened. I mean, I told him what happened. But I'm thinking, like, she just doesn't want to say what she saw, but she knows what she saw. You know, when someone's making a turn, sometimes people will slow down to the point that they actually have to then accelerate to make it through the turn. That, I think, means you may have slowed down too much. Just a heads up. I saw this great sign, by the way. I'm seeing like a patchwork pumpkins. There's like a pumpkin farm out here. And I was down near my house, and I just saw this sign. It was like garage sale, you know, but it said haunted yard. And I guess it was from Halloween, and this was like 2 days after Halloween. Well, no, this was like 5 days after Halloween. And I'm assuming the haunted yard is like a haunted yard that you go to and trick-or-treat or something. Then I was like, are they charging money for this? Like, what's going on? I don't think... One thing that I like to keep track of is my eccentric millionaire ideas. So, for example, you know, I can't even think of one right now, but I have many. Well, okay, opening up some of these businesses like Hitler's Coffee, you know, and it's like the final solution for coffee or something, and it's got like a smiling Hitler with a foam mustache or something. And the reason, you know, you gotta be rich is because if you're an eccentric millionaire And, you know, you use the proceeds from this to benefit some great charity and stuff like that. And people will hate it, but you're like, well, whatever, you don't have to go. Right? And then you can kind of do what you want. It's not like someone's going to be like, let's ruin this guy, because you can't ruin the eccentric millionaire. Also, I feel like what you want to do is kind of have so many... You want to do things that are ultimately really good for the community, right? Like, have an overall very positive impact, because I think that makes it a little tougher. Because, okay, if you are an eccentric millionaire who's helped out the community a lot, most people in the community will probably be like, you know, at some point, we're going to want to ask him for this. Or like, well, our basketball team, he sponsored our rec volleyball team. So I don't really want to talk shit about him because, you know, we want those fucking t-shirts next time, right? So that's how I feel about eccentric millionaire-isms. And that's who I would be if I was an eccentric millionaire. Because the other thing is, I worry that I would lose track of some of these ideas, and also that I wouldn't know, once I was a millionaire, I don't know if I would totally remember, like, what were those things I wanted to do? You know, you have your whole life to think about being a millionaire, but chances are, even if you are fortunate to become a millionaire, you're not going to be a millionaire for most of your life, right? Or at least I'm not. I mean, it's too late for that, probably. So I have to spend my time wisely and just like, let's just plan on being a millionaire in terms of eccentric ideas. And then if you're not, whatever. But if you are, you'll be like, oh, I should have spent all that time preparing. So I read this story, not like a, you know, story. It was a Lit Reactor column someone wrote about how different writers celebrate Halloween. And one of them was saying, like, in his neighborhood, there was basically an eccentric millionaire. And every Halloween he would put together, like, basically, if you've ever been in the haunted house at, like, a carnival where you get on a little, sort of like a roller coaster car, but, you know, the ride itself isn't thrilling so much as it just goes along a flat track and takes you past horrors. And this guy who just lived in this neighborhood and had some land would put one of these together every Halloween, and then he would, like, employ the local neighborhood kids or whatever to be, you know, the guy was like, one time I was a guy with my guts falling out, one time I was this, one time I was that. And so that is definitely in the eccentric millionaire. I almost said exotic millionaire, but I don't think that's me. I think I would just be eccentric. Eccentricities. So haunted yard. I wrote down this thing that happened. It was a couple things that happened because, you know, during the month of October, things happened, but they weren't spooky, so I didn't really talk about them in the October spooky times. So I went to get my oil changed, and I'm in there, and, like, the guy who runs the place is weird. He seems like kind of an asshole when I've been in there before. I mean, not an asshole, but kind of an asshole. And it seemed like what was happening, from what I could tell, because he was talking very loudly on his phone. He's like a younger dude to be in charge of, like, a oil change place, right? And so I'm guessing he's, like, the manager, and then there's a franchise owner or some shit. And so he's, like, off talking on his cell phone super loud the whole time I'm there, and he's outside, and I'm sitting outside because it's still nice. And what I could piece together seemed to be he'd gone to some kind of conference or something. Now, I'm not sure exactly what kind of conference you go to as the operator of, like, a grease monkey or whatever, but sure. You know, I think everything has a conference or a convention. Because it turns out, I think that you can just make money by having conventions. Like, or, you know, that's basically your job. My job is not, you know, I'm like, well, I could work at the Grease Monkey, or I could do the Grease Monkey convention every year. Like, I can put that on. That's how I make my money. And that's, like, a little easier. I mean, I only really have to work super hard a couple weeks out of the year, right? So some people do this shit. And it seemed like this guy had gone to a convention and then gone out partying and got real drunk or something. And then from there, I can't tell exactly what happened. But he kept talking to who I assume was his boss and saying, like, oh, yeah, you know, if I ever, when I go again, I'll just, you know, it's going to be, I'm going to go to the class and go straight back to my hotel. Like, you know, no other stops, no other this, whatever. Which I was like, okay, you don't have to do that. Like, let's not get crazy. Just probably don't sext your boss or whatever you did. Like, I don't know. I don't know. This is what conferences are, as far as I can tell. It seems that, like, that's what people are doing. Not that they're going there and, like, learning a lot and then going back and having a night of homework or something. I don't even know. But so then he, I think maybe he was like trying to make up for the fact that, you know, he had this bad leadership experience or whatever, because then there's this guy working there and, you know, I don't know. They all just seem to be working normally. There was not like something crazy going on. And so the manager looks at this guy and he goes, "Hey, Austin." And he points to another guy, a third guy. He's like, "See how so-and-so is kind of running from place to place?" And this Austin guy is like, "Yeah." And the boss is like, "That's not a bad thing, okay?" And so basically in the most asshole way possible was telling this guy, "Hey, see some hustle. You know, run around a little more. Don't just sit around. Run. I need you to run." And I was like, boy... boy, am I glad I don't have a boss like that. I just, like, that is the, it took me back instantly to, you know, the old days of, when you work a job like a McDonald's or something like that, I mean, looking back on it, I can see why they're like this. When I was a busboy, briefly, I was a dishwasher and then a busboy occasionally, and the busboys, where I worked, shared tips with the waitresses, right, which meant the waitresses would tip you out, which meant, in theory, they would give you better tips if you worked harder or, you know, whatever. But what they would all do is just be like, you know, there's three of you or four of you on today, so I can't really give you much money. But instead of giving $8 total, they would give $6 total and spread it between more people. Like, it was a total fucking scam is what I'm saying. But, you know, when I was a busboy, at one point, my friend was also a busboy, and he was like, "So you want to make bigger tips?" And I was like, "Sure." He's like, "All right, well, you gotta run from table to table. Like, you gotta move really fast." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You know, the waitresses are saying that you just walk from place to place." And I was like, "I mean, it's not a big place, and it's a crowded restaurant. I don't think I'm being lackadaisical about it, but I'm not fucking sprinting from spot to spot either. And it wasn't that busy of a place. It's not like we had people waiting for the tables. You know, there are places you go, and you're like, all right, the moment this table is clear, someone can sit down. So that means, you know, better turnover. This was like, it's a fucking buffet. I don't know. Anyway, I just hated that. And I was like, well, fuck them. Like, if that's what they're telling you, why they're not tipping me, then fuck them. Because I don't, what do you want me to say? They want me to run? Well, too bad. I'm not going to. I'm not going to run when it's totally unnecessary. And also when, you know, it's not like I'm being paid, really, to run. Honestly, it was just like the indignity of it. It was like they didn't care that I was getting it done fast. It was the, well, it's more in, there's less dignity in running, and so if he runs, he's demonstrating that he understands his place in the hierarchy of this job. And I was like, I understand nothing. Nothing! So anyway, hearing him tell the other guy that at the Grease Monkey, I was just like, Jesus Christ, you know? What an asshole. Like, why do people have to be like that? And why can't you just say, you don't have to say, at least my friend was, like, nice about it. He wasn't, like, trying to, like, trick me or ask me a question, you know what I mean? Like, why did the guy have to be like, hey, see how he's doing it? That's not a bad thing. It's like, okay. fuck you. You know? Fuck that. And then I'm sitting outside at this table. I see this go on, and I'm just kind of like, well, whatever. Don't get involved. Don't be a hero. I mean, I don't know what being a hero is at that point. Being like, oh, you know what? I'm not going to get my oil changed. Like, I don't want to get it somewhere where somebody talks to somebody like that. But, so I'm at this patio table, and behind me I hear this scuffling, right? And there's this lady waiting for her car to finish or whatever, for her oil to get changed. And she's sitting on the patio, not 5 feet away from me, doing yoga, right? And I was kind of like, man, do you really gotta do that right here, right now, this close to me? I mean, it was really uncomfortable because, like, you know how, I'm sure many of you have been in a yoga class where you're that close to someone doing yoga, and some of the positions you're just like, I feel like your butt's kind of in my face right now. But at least you're all doing it. And you're like, eh, my butt's in someone else's face. Whatever. It just seemed like not the venue. Or, you know, I don't know. Feel free to go into a different spot, maybe. Give me a little personal space. When you're doing yoga, I feel like if you're not in a yoga situation at all, your personal bubble should increase a little. And how about, I'll put it this way, if you're doing yoga in a non-yoga place, my bubble increases in relation to you. How about that? Because it totally does. And it's just like one of those moments where you're like, the whole world has gone crazy. Like, no one but me is sane in the entire universe. And everything is awful. So that was getting my oil changed. That happened this last couple days. What a life I lead, huh? You guys ever get jealous of me? And this lifestyle that I've got? My rock and roll lifestyle? I know I would if I was listening to this and not part of it. Oh, I feel like I had one more thing to say that seemed really important. One more thing to talk about. You know, I had a whole month, so I had, like, two things. I had a whole month, so I was sick and my oil got changed. And, you know, the doctor checked my oil, and then I had my oil checked on my car. And both of them were about equally pleasant. When you get right down to it. When you look at the fact that this guy was a real dick to this kid, I'm just not impressed. Peter's not impressed. I'll tell you that right now. I did watch some horror movies. I watched a movie called Trick or Treat, this anthology movie for Halloween. Oh, by the way, on Halloween, I'm disappointed in the world. Because apparently the entire world decided that that they were going to dress up on the previous weekend, and almost no one dressed up on Halloween. Which I was like, that's fucking bullshit. Because first of all, dress up twice. But you know, it needs to be, the workday Halloween needs to happen before the party Halloween. Because you're like, I don't know, I spilled a bunch of beer on this costume. I can't fucking wear it to work now, right? Or I got a boner in this outfit. I feel weird wearing it to work now. By the way, so after doing an entire month of podcasting, I was considering the idea of doing, like, more podcasting and basically having different shows. And one of the shows I thought would be Fireside Chats with Pete, Mayor of America. Now, I'm guessing you're all sort of familiar with this concept of me as Mayor of America and what that entails. But just in case you're not, what I'm talking about is, like, I have ideas. I have things to tell the world. I have ways of going about those things. And I feel like, you know, it's like a time for a little fireside chat. And one of the things as Mayor of America, now as Mayor of America, I'm not like a lawmaker. let's say. You know, I'm not really working with foreign policy and stuff like that. It's more just like, let's just make things, like, less shitty. Let's make things a little nicer for everybody. Let's work out this life. Let's honk at this person who's not paying fucking attention. Still not going. Okay. Jesus. And one of the things, one of my big Mayor of America things is Halloween does not take place on October 31st anymore. It takes place on the last Friday of October. Okay? No more fucking around with this, like, it. This year was on a Monday. That is dumb. That is the worst day to have Halloween. Maybe Sunday. Sunday might be the worst as well. But now it's just the last Friday in October. And I don't see why this would be a problem. You know, I know some people would be like, ugh, you can't do that. But I feel like, why the hell not? You know what I mean? Hey, if you are really stuck on the 31st, if you're like, ooh, that's when the barrier between this world and the other is the weakest, okay, you can have your little family private celebration of Halloween on the 31st and then go to a Halloween party on a different day. That's how it's going to work. So there you go. As the mayor of America, this is one of my decrees. And one of my fireside chats is about the benefits of this. The cost-benefit ratio. What is the cost of this? Almost nothing. What is the benefit? Everything. End of chat. I just am driving past. I'm going home, and I just drove past where the jury parking is, which I didn't realize, because, like, when I was a juror, I parked somewhere, or I stayed at home, that's what I did, because I walked, because it's not that far, and I just saw where the juror parking is, and it's fucking bullshit, it's far, it is not close to the courthouse. You would think it'd be a little closer, you'd be wrong. It just seems like this whole systematic thing when you go to jury duty to, like, break it down. Break them down and build them back up into perfect deliverers of justice. But yeah, so Halloween, not a lot of costumes. I wore my costume for most of Halloween, Pac-Man suit. Not, by which I do not mean a Pac-Man costume. I mean a suit, like a suit and tie suit, with Pac-Man pattern on it. And, you know, I worked most of the day, except I went, so I did book talks for these classes. I did this for, like, 5 classes in one day and 6 classes on another day or something. So what this means is each of these book talks is like an hour standing in front of a class talking very animatedly and, you know, gesturing and telling them about books and trying to convince them to read it. And these are, like, high school kids, so, you know, you gotta be, like, high energy and shit. And I'm doing this, and the last 2 I did were in this small class, where there's, like, classroom, I should say, where there's, like, 35 kids in there. And it is small. And I started sweating. And it was at that point that I was really glad they were high school students, because I was like, these kids would be scarred for life if they were, like, children. If they were children, they'd be like, Mom, I saw the sweatiest man whoever was today, and it was horrible, and it's every time I close my eyes, I see him, and, like, now all I can think about is sweat and, like, body wetness, and, you know, body wetness. When I close my eyes, I feel how wet they are. Yeah. And this is just what these kids would have to live with now. But they're high school, so I don't know, even if they're scarred permanently, it's like, well, you had a good ride. I don't know, get used to it. People are going to be sweaty. You're getting to the time where this is a thing. So anyway, I had to go home and change after that. I had like 45 more minutes of work, and I wanted to show up in a Pac-Man suit, but I was like, guys, too sweaty. Like, I can't just sit around in this sweat all day. I can't do it. I hope you could hear that truck. I just want you to know that was like a fancy truck that they made sound that way on purpose. But yeah, it seemed like, and in the school, I was almost the only one who had a costume. There was one guy who was dressed like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
By which I mean, I think his haircut may have just looked that way. I'm not sure.
But, you know, he wore, like, brown pants and a green shirt. And it had to be pointed out to me that he was in costume. You know, I was like, well, I don't know, this kid just might be some fucking hippie. But he was not. There was, like, no trick-or-treating in my neighborhood. I have never lived in a house where trick-or-treating is popular. Even when I lived at home with my mom, when we were kids in that neighborhood, there were no fucking kids in that neighborhood besides us. It was all old people. So many old people. And they don't trick-or-treat at all. And when you trick-or-treat at an old person's house, they give you, like, one shitty piece of candy. You know, they're not like, take a whole handful. Because that's what if I was giving out candy to kids, if a kid trick-or-treated at my door, like the first time I live somewhere where kids actually come and trick-or-treat, I'm going to be going apeshit. Like, I'm going to run out of stuff almost immediately. So I'll be like, here, have 5 pieces of candy. Have 20. Have 50. Have a whole bag. I'll leave it in this bag. You can just, I'm going to make a handle on a bag of fun-sized candies, and you can just walk off with it like it's your bag.
Just use the space for where it all settled and fill that the rest of the way with any additional candy you may acquire.
I don't know what I'm dressed as this Halloween, some kind of, like, elocution-teaching vampire or something like that. But yeah, I don't know. It was a disappointing Halloween in that way. I didn't get to carve a pumpkin, although I did buy... So, I love the pumpkin patch. Did not get to go this year. I'm blaming mostly sickness and busyness. But I did not get to go, and that was a huge letdown. So I did buy something I never thought I would do. I bought one of those, like, I don't know what they're made of, foam or something, and you carve the pumpkin, but it's not a real pumpkin. But you can carve it. So it's a hollow pumpkin-looking thing that you carve and then just keep. It doesn't rot, which is a good news. And I put this candle in it, and it's like a candle, an electronic candle, you know? And it's been going since Halloween, and it's still going. And I feel like this is like my version of the Hanukkah story. You know, it was like, well, Halloween was kind of a letdown because I didn't get a pumpkin. And then he put this candle in it that was only meant to go for like a day, because I had another one and I put it somewhere, and it lasted like a day. And this one has now lasted like, I don't know, a bunch of days, you know? Fuck off. What do you want me to do, math for you? What do you want me to date this show, and then you'll know when it happened, and then know when you don't really need to pay attention to it anymore? Nice try, fucker.
So that's what I did. It's not the same.
I regret missing the pumpkin patch. It's going to have to be on the list for next year. In addition to my eccentric millionaire list and my Mayor of America list, I need to start working on a summer list and a next Halloween list, because there needs to be more things. More Halloween. More. Even though we did a show every day, it's just not enough. It's just... not enough Halloween. I did also interview somebody and shortly before Halloween, and we went in the basement of the building he works in. And it's like one of these scary basements where everything's behind, you know, chain link for some reason, even though it's like all open. It's not like you can't get into the different... It's like they just wanted to separate everything, but whatever. And then you're down there, and you can kind of see through parts of the wall, and for some fucking reason... there's mannequins down there. And he's like, yeah, I don't really know what they're for, but of course it's a scary basement, so there's mannequins down here. And I was like, oh, awesome. That seems like a good thing. And one of the mannequins, I swear to God, was wearing a mask. And you're just like, who put a mask on that? And they must have known that would be scary, right? And the mannequins are all kind of like, they're standing around in a circle, so it looks like you caught them doing something, like they were talking about how they're going to kill you. Who did that? Like, who set that up? Why? And why? What? What consequences can we lay at this person's feet for doing this? This guy is waving at me because he pulled out crazily. I'm just like, I'm going to wave at you because I... What choice did I have? It's not like I was like, oh yeah, pull out crazy fashion. It's just like, well, I don't know. I'm fucking here. He's going to do it, and then I'll go. But yeah, so I saw some creepy mannequins, so I guess that's something. I don't know. All right, guys. That's it. We're back. We also need to do... We might have to restart our Choose Your Own Adventure because I was really fucking smart, and I started a team Choose Your Own Adventure situation the show before we then just went off format for the next month. So there you go. That's how smart I was. So we may have to restart that. We'll get to that next time. And have a good week. See you later.
You're not gonna say it. Somebody should. Let's talk about two time. Let's talk about bum one, yeah. Asking the questions that nobody could. Like, where are the bone dogs and are they in harmony?